What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Tim and Bo from True Villains. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Doing good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to talk to you guys. I've been aware of you guys for a while now. I'm glad we could finally make this happen. So I guess we'll just start out with what you guys have been up to. Like, you guys been busy, shows, studio work, anything like that?
A little bit of everything. We've been releasing a bunch of music this year. Mm-hmm. We were just on the road this weekend.
We're about to head to band practice in a minute here because we have a show on Sunday with Cody Parks and the Dirty South.
Oh, nice.
Down at the new Eric Church Bar downtown. They have like an actual venue inside of it. I think it kind of looks like a theater or something. From the pictures that I saw, it looks like a small theater to me, but in nice. A downtown club. So we're playing there on Sunday.
Badass. Yeah. Cody, that band's unreal too. I'd imagine that's a good mixture of you two. So, hell yeah. So I guess let's start out with, when I first heard you guys, your sound, like, I loved it right away. Big rock guy. And the cool thing with you guys, that a lot of bands, I think, it's hard to capture the sound maybe nowadays, but you guys do it very well, is there's that familiarity to it with, like the retro stuff, like, from back in the day for sure. Like, to me, it was a lot of, like 70s rock, 80s rock kind of stuff. But not just that, but it's fresh. It's fresh, it's new, and like it you guys uniquely make it your sound. So I was wondering from your guys' point of view how you would describe your guys' sound.
I mean, that nails it for me, I think.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. Kind of like a classic rockish, but with like a new, like a modern sound to it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Our influences, between the five of us, I mean, they're all over the place. You know, that contributes a lot to it.
Yeah, nice. And when you guys, did you guys form in Nashville? I know you guys are from all around, but is Nashville where you guys got together?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
Bo didn't live here at the time.
Oh, gotcha.
Met him on Craigslist.
Yeah. They were already like jamming together, and I was living in Minnesota, and then I moved down here. Well, I was already going to move down here, but I wanted to meet people kind of before I got down there, see if I could get set up with something, and that's when I found them on Craigslist.
Wow, I didn't know. Is that still a thing, like Craigslist? And
maybe not
that?
Anymore. I don't know.
Not so much anymore.
That might have been the last good find.
Yeah
probably. That's
there
funny.
Used to be some legit stuff on there back then.
Yeah, and then I think it got a little sketchy towards the end there. There might have been some weird stuff going on with Craigslist, but we don't got to get into that.
The misconnections page.
Yeah, oh yeah. But so kind of might as well talk about Nashville for a bit then. So I'm, as you guys, I think you guys know, like Raised Rowdy, obviously, that's all based in Nashville. I'm from Cincinnati, so I make my way down there every once in a while. But got to talking to a lot of artists and bands out of Nashville, I guess I didn't realize that rock was so prevalent there. Like, you know, you think of Nashville, like just from not being from there, I think, okay, country music. But like the more you dig and the more you meet people, like it is a really good haven for rock music. So was it pretty easy to find an audience in a place like Nashville?
I would say, yeah, in a way. Like when we were new, we started drawing people to shows pretty quick because we kind of stood out at the time.
Yeah, maybe there was less people in Nashville in general. And so I'd say there was also less rock bands. Like, the only bands that I knew of were The Tip and I guess Krantz was doing rock stuff. And maybe there wasn't very many. Even downtown too, like the downtown clubs, I feel like there wasn't that many cover bands playing rock music down there either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we always seem to do well, like playing things that we shouldn't be playing. You know what
like
I mean?
What?
I'll give you an example. This was like maybe 2 years ago. We played Whiskey Jam and had no idea that Ronnie Dunn was making a guest appearance right before we played.
You know? Wow.
But like we would do Whiskey Jam or we would do, what was that thing they used to do at Doghouse? The Big Vinny used to put on?
Yeah, I don't even remember. Overalls, I don't remember.
Yeah, but it would be like, you know, country acts and then like us sandwiched in the middle. And yeah, kind of like instead of people chatting outside and like, you know, mingling and networking or whatever, everybody would be like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
The decibel level just went up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd imagine like that has to be like, I'm sure that might have been weird for you guys at first, like to be like, you know, on a lineup with country acts. But if you think about it, it's kind of to your guys' advantage, like you just said, because it like makes people be like, oh, shit, what's this going on here? And like gets people to pay attention, I guess.
Yeah, a little change up at least to freshen the palate.
Yeah, for sure. How do you guys view like at your current currently the rock scene in town? Like, has it grown since when you guys first started out, or has it stayed the same, or how's it gone?
I don't think it's as good as before, but I still think part of that is like COVID-ish, because I think that there's like less venues in town that are even like booking rock acts, or more out of town, like more traveling bands too, for you to like open up for.
Mm.
I don't know. So many things have like changed hands with like High Watt and Cannery, that whole thing changing. And then Exit In has closed and reopened about 5 billion times. I don't know. Some of my favorites, like, even the little spot that we had started playing at, the Blue Bar, that's gone now. Like some of the smaller vibey little rock clubs that were in like well-populated areas are gone. They turn into like, you know, turn into a taco stand. It's gone too commercial a little bit.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. It seems like there's almost less places to play now.
I think there's more house shows though.
Okay.
I seem to hear more about like more people just doing like backyard house show concerts. Look at the All American Rejects, like going on backyard house band tours.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's like a new thing for me to like. I've been hearing about that too. The logistics behind that seems like super complicated, though. Like a house show, like how does that even fucking get put together?
The insurance policy has got to be insane on that one.
For sure. So a little bit more about Nashville. Was there a time early on when you guys formed, was there like a moment when you knew like this was like a good place to be kind of headquartered out of, like it's like a special place to be, or is it kind of just like, well, we're here kind of thing, or you know what I mean?
I think just in general for music, this is kind of the spot now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I lived in, myself and our drummer, actually, we lived in LA for a few years. And I personally prefer Nashville. And like, even fast forward to today, tons of people from LA are moving here now. And then, you know, it's the from a touring standpoint, it's nice because you're like kind of in the middle. It's easy to fly places. You know, there's a lot of pros. I feel like the city has maybe lost a little bit of its charm recently, maybe post COVID.
Oh, just, yeah.
It's grown too fast. There's just too many people. Like we were talking about venues, so many venues are gone now. You know? I don't know. What do you
think? Yeah, I'm from the Midwest, so this was already like a billion times better than anything that's going on up there. Like I would say it like right away getting here, because I just came here on vacation first to check it out, and then I was like, oh, this is sweet. I got to move here. And then like, you know, soon after moving here, I think I moved at the end of January, and by early February already, we were like, oh, we're playing a show. So it's like, you know, we started playing right off the bat, and then started like meeting industry people and stuff really quickly, I would say, and started like getting shows and stuff, or like even just meeting like bands that I liked. Like we were playing a show at that same venue that's now gone, and randomly just met like Tyler Bryant next door and was like, hey dude, I have followed your band for a long time, come check out our set. And then he did, and then we ended up opening for their album release party later on.
Wow.
So it's like easy stuff like that where you just run into people and connect.
Yeah, I'd imagine the networking and connections like that has to be the spot for that, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. More about your sound, and I was kind of wondering about applied to you guys, but also a lot of like modern new rock and roll bands that do kind of capture that old like aesthetic, that old style a bit. You guys have to be like getting compared to a lot of old bands a lot. And like, you know, you see it like a lot with like Greta Van Fleet. The first thing people say is Led Zeppelin, Dirty Honey. They get compared to like Aerosmith or something. First off, in general, does that get old? And second off, like, does it like matter to you guys really in the grand scheme? I hear people get annoyed by it. Some people don't give a shit at all about it. Like, what's your guys' stance on that?
I don't think too many people have said like your band sounds like this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've just more so heard like, oh, the singer kind of sounds like this thing, or maybe that's just me paying attention because I'm the singer. I don't know. I wouldn't say like musically though that it doesn't specifically sound like one thing. Maybe we have one song that kind of sounds like, oh, it has like a Black Crowes-y vibe or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't as pigeonholed as that like one band thing, I guess, right. I want to say.
Yeah, I've seen people, and like people even when we're on the road or something, you know, that come up and talk to us. It's like oh, you guys like remind me of this and this and this, and it's like always all over the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's never just like one specific thing, you know, which I think is kind of cool because yeah, you know, we're not trying to necessarily be a throwback band.
Yeah.
And we just try to write good songs that I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right. And like, that's kind of what I was getting to the next point is that like, that's just your sound, and it's not like you're copying anything. It's like it's fresh. It's new. It's like a new sound that just is reminiscent. And like, I think that speaks a lot to like the timelessness of that music. And it's kind of like you guys are at this point in time, like in that timeline. I said time a lot there, but I hope that made sense. But like, I don't know if that made any sense, but I don't know. It's kind of cool to be, it has to feel like you're kind of a part of carrying on that tradition, I guess you could say, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the challenge today is, you know, you can't write like a 6-minute epic song anymore, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like trying to take something that is as cool as some of that stuff was and water it down into 3.5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's...
And even albums, like a lot of bands, like they don't put albums out now, which, I mean, that's what, you know, you kind of have to at this point. You have to do what you got to do, but it's cool to see like, well, a rock band's like, I feel like it's harder for them, and you guys would have a way better idea of this than I do. Is it harder for rock bands in general to stand out versus like, I don't know, like we were talking about country artists or guys like that, like to really stand out in the grand scheme of things? You think?
I feel like the industry doesn't support it maybe as much. Okay. Like the rock. I don't know. I don't know if infrastructure is the right word, but like rock radio, all that kind of stuff. I feel like it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't support its own like country does. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. With like radio, even with country radio, how they always have new stuff and all the rock radios is just only classic rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's very rare that like you turn on a rock FM radio station and hear, you know, 10 new artists or whatever.
Yeah. It's just Zeppelin, Skinnerd, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, in the post COVID world, in my opinion, the TikTok thing kind of took over. And to me, it's like, I mean, we always kind of go back and forth, talk about this a lot. It's like, it's the least un-rock and roll thing ever to sit in the front seat of your car and just like, lip sync to the same song over and over and over again, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask about that next, actually. If you guys have found it hard to evolve into that, or if you even give a shit or even try to evolve into that.
Yeah, it's so hard.
It's exhausting.
I get it. That's just like a, you know, it's just another source of entertainment for people. That's really all they're looking to do is be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at it from a stance of just like entertain people and then try to put your music in there somehow. But yeah, it's so hard to stay on brand with stuff too. Like rock's supposed to be badass, not supposed to be dancing around. I don't know. There's people that are good at it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, like that's how you get your audience, though. You do what you want to do. And if they like the music, they like the music. You don't want like you don't want to fake it on the internet or anything like that. Like that's you're right. The most un-rock and roll shit of all time.
That's true. And there's a lot of people that have tons and tons of followers, but nobody wants to like actually see them play, or they can't even play or sing.
Yeah. Yeah, they've never played a show before.
Yeah, they've never played a show in their whole life.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
Yeah, it's whack. It's crazy how it's come to that. And we'll see how it, you know, pans out, I guess. But I might as well get to it. So I listened to you guys for a few years now. And when I saw that you guys were on fucking America's Got Talent, I had no clue, first off, that was even happening. And I happened to see like a YouTube clip pop up. I'm like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? So I guess I just want to know, like, how did this opportunity come about, I guess?
It's my mother.
Okay, because I saw her on the clip, I believe.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. She's watched the show forever, mm-hmm. you know? And she's always like, oh, you got to get your band on there. You got to get your band. I'm like, no, it's corny. We don't want to do that, you know? And then finally, she just, like, was berating me about it so much. I was like, fine, I'll upload some videos through their website. So I just, like, went on the website, like, the submission thing that everybody does, and I uploaded, like, two of our music videos or something. And then they reached out to us, and then we went and we did like a soft audition in Nashville, a sound check, and the producer that was there, she was freaking out, and yeah, I don't know, the rest is history. It was honestly like a cool experience. I don't know, it was more like artist friendly. Would you agree with that than I would have expected?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. They were very transparent about things, and I never felt like we were kind of getting taken advantage of.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, yep. For the most part, I would say that they let you kind of do whatever you wanted to do and didn't tie you down to anything.
I wouldn't have expected
to, like,
that.
Lean you. They might try to lean you in a direction, but they're not going to, like, force you to do anything.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have expected that. Like, you hear, like, kind of these, like, horror stories from people who've done, like, American Idol or something, stuff like that, and it just sounds like a lot of times they come out of it, like, not enjoying what they went through, even though it is, like, a huge opportunity. And, that got me thinking about, like, because I was watching your performance on it, and then I was thinking, like, when you compare that to your playing a show in town, what tweaks did you make? Did you make any tweaks, like, from that to now that you're playing on, like, a televised thing? Like, were there any major things you changed for your live show, or did you just keep it same as you would play it, like, at a club or something?
Like, while we were on TV?
Yeah, like, that was put out on TV, yeah.
Oh, I mean,
mostly the same.
They made us, like, cut stuff, you know, down and like do things a little bit differently just to make it fit in a certain time frame based on how much they want to give you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't bore us, get to the chorus. Yeah. And, like, you know,
yeah.
Do that a couple times, you're good.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but they told us on the second one we were on the live rounds. They said that we were the first band, like the actual band members that ever actually played live on live television.
Wow. Okay.
They did say that, correct?
Dude, I was just watching a clip that they was posted recently today, and I was like, oh my God, this whole thing is fake.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
I'm not misremembering that, right?
That's, no. Yeah. That was
just say allegedly and you'll be off the hook.
Allegedly. We were the first band that actually ever were actually playing live on live television.
Right on. My next question was going to be like, was it worth it? And it sounds like it was. It sounds like they treated you well and everything. So,
yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of fun, honestly. Yeah. Like, everybody was really cool on the show, like in every little department that you had to go to.
Oh, yeah.
The one we did an interview and it took forever because we just kept saying really inappropriate things and the camera guy kept laughing.
Yeah.
It was fun. But it was cool. And
I don't think they used any of that footage.
Yeah.
we basically wasted 2 hours of their time and our own time.
Yeah, because the guy that had the camera, he had like our little microphone feeds like right into his headphones.
Oh, he's just getting weak behind the camera.
Yeah, he was dying.
Oh,
all in all, it was a cool experience. And it was like a weird thing for a band like us to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't have investors or rich mm-hmm. parents or anybody kind of, you know, paying our way. And in the post-COVID world, like we were talking about the TikTok thing, it's just like trying to figure out something to do that will get you in front of people, you know. Plus, it made my mom really happy, so.
Yeah, that's the point. Yep, that's the win right there.
Right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's awesome. Moving on from that a bit, I was curious about like if you guys like co-write at all, like with like other artists like in the scene. Do you ever like collab with anyone else like that, or do you keep it kind of centralized with the True Villains?
More centralized, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, we tried the co-writing thing a few times. Mm-hmm. We actually have a write coming up at the end of the month with somebody. Yeah, it's always interesting because I think the way that we, I mean, most rock bands, I would imagine, like it always starts with like a riff or a jam or something like that. You know what I mean? And a lot of people in the country world, which are mostly who you would co-write with in Nashville, that's really not quite how they do it. You know, it always starts with like a lyrical thing or like some kind of thing like that that they build off of. So it's two very different approaches sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What's your take on that?
Yeah. I would say the same thing. But some of our songs have been melody and lyric based first, and then.
Yeah.
But a lot of, you know, country songs also don't have like a riff for the most part. There's just like the sig riff, and that's the only time there's any kind of something like that going on.
Okay.
So it's, it's hard to combine those worlds sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, it's not something that we're closed off to. It's just, I guess, finding the right. You know.
Yeah,
I would say more like lyrically, like even, you know, I think like Eric Parian helped a little bit with the Villain. I think we like put him on there. Maybe not any other ones.
But as like a band, though, like when it comes lyrically, is there like one guy, or is there like everybody help with like the lyrics part of it too? Or is there like one chief songwriter?
It's mostly like me, Matt, and Greg. Matt is the drummer and Greg is the keyboard player.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Matt likes to write songs just in general on his own too. And then Greg too. Greg has like his own solo music. And he goes and like helps a lot of other people with songs too. Like, especially with like changing chords and coming up with different ideas. I don't know. So both of them like already write lyrics anyways. Same with Matt, the drum. He would go and also do writes with other people, like sometimes country people. So they're, you know, more in like the lyric realm also.
Right on. Hell yeah. And like, it would help, like it helps always being in a band, I'd imagine too. Right. Because like you just bounce everything off each other, but not only lyrically, but just the whole structure of a song, you know?
Yeah. And you're not afraid to say something stupid because it's your friends or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in a room with a bunch of strangers.
Yeah.
You know, looking like an idiot is different, maybe. It's okay to be an idiot in front of your friends.
Yeah, everybody kind of has their own strength, you know, something that they bring to the table, which is cool. And like, you know, we don't, sometimes when we're writing, it's not like, oh, we have to get the song done by the end of rehearsal.
Right.
It's like, maybe we have like these parts and then it's like, you go sit with it and then you come back the next time and you're like, oh, I heard this could be different. This could be different. It's kind of the same thing with recording. It's part of the reason, I guess, we're kind of slow with putting out music is because we're not sitting there cutting it in one or two takes, you know?
Yeah.
It's spending a little extra time on parts and a little extra time.
I mean, it's also like that all the instruments are actually recorded and stuff too, you know? A lot of like the new thing with putting out singles, it's a lot of just like a singular person working with a producer, and the producer is, you know, using whatever to make the drums, MIDI drums and the bass and the guitar and blah, blah, blah. So you can churn out stuff much faster.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, you know, it's one person making a choice versus five people collaborating and coming up with an idea that they all can agree on.
Yeah.
And then making the time to get together and go to the studio and record it and do it all piece by piece.
Yeah. Like
it's just a longer process.
And when we work with Nick Raskolin, he produced all the songs on the EP that we put out recently.
Yeah.
You know, it's every time we go in with him, it's two songs in 5 days. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're on the clock. We got to record this now. One take, you know.
Right on. Yeah, that EP was badass, by the way. I gave it a re-listen today. Loved it. But
thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.
And before we head out, I don't want to keep you guys too long. I know you got rehearsal coming up. But I wanted to ask you guys about, obviously, like anything new coming down the pipe, like when it comes to new music, anything like that you guys could tell us about, what to expect?
Yeah, we got the show on Sunday. We have a cover that we've been sitting on for a while that's a like our own version of The Hills by The Weeknd.
Mm.
It's already like ready to go. We just need to like put it out. And then we're working on kind of a more balladish. I don't want to say ballad because it's not like slow love song, but mm-hmm. you know, a little bit more balladish one that's in the works right now. And then we got a couple other shows coming up too with some friends at the Basement.
I've been trying to get us on some mammoth shows in the fall, but
oh yeah.
Now. So if you happen to know anybody or anybody out there, put in a good word.
Yeah, we'll do our best, man. But that's awesome, guys. Thanks for hopping on. This was great. I'm glad we finally got to do this. I've been a fan for a while. I haven't been able to connect as much as I could, but been a fan for a while. And also, before we head out, any like socials, website, plugs, anything you guys want to throw out there, people could find you at, the floor is yours.
Just True Villains Nashville on everything.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And you guys, the A is before the I.
On Villains.
Hell yeah. I had to look at my paper, make sure I spelt it right. I'm just kidding.
I can't tell you how many show posters we roll into a venue or something. It's like, oh, they spelled it wrong.
Billions.
And it's, yeah.
That's funny. But yeah, everyone, you guys make sure to follow them, listen to their music. Also check out Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us, we'll show up. So thank you guys again, Tim and Bo, for hopping on. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, dude.
My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Gonna take you home now. Cause baby, I'm down to get dirty. With you and me and some Tennessee whiskey on us. We ain't gotta get nowhere. Take your time, make it feel just right. Make it